Don't forget sponsors. I know we're starting a couple of seconds late, but remember, if you have any questions, put them in the Q&A panel in live meeting, and Christian will answer those if he has a break in his talk or at the end. Christian is a lead software architect for Molinar Informatics, where he works with clients as an architect, consultant, and developer. He's an expert .NET architect and developer who mixes and matches commercial open source and tailor-made components in a quest to create simple and lean solutions that allow for quick and agile development. And without further ado, let me turn the floor over to Christian. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the introduction. So the talk I'm giving today, or right now, is a talk about a few sort of other .NET web frameworks, and other in this context mean other than sort of the classic ASP.NET and ASP.NET web forms, MVC web forms, .NET web frameworks. So we'll go through a couple of them. First, let me just say a quick word about myself. Few other things. Yeah, so as Sean said, I work at Molinar Informatics, which is a consultancy based in Denmark, where I also live right now. I'm from Denmark, as it says here. I'm a husband and a father, I guess, like a lot of people are. Nothing special there. And then here I list a few things that I enjoy, so just that you get sort of an impression of who's talking tonight. Or today, I guess, your time. So I'm somebody who likes code, and especially if it's readable, especially if it's sort of clean. I'm somebody who likes to be able to TDD that code. I prefer to write the tests first, so I put some store in frameworks and stuff that enables me to do that. I like it when my home team wins. Who doesn't? I also like simplicity in solutions. I think the job we have as software developers and architects or programmers or what we want to call it is complex enough as it is, and I think the things that we try to solve for our end users and our customers are complex in themselves, so we really need to try to keep things as simple as we can and not add complexity of our own. So I like simplicity in frameworks and the technologies that we use. I also like the occasional single malt. So that was just a quick introduction of a few things about myself. Now, why am I even giving this talk? Why are we talking about these other frameworks? So I guess, in a sense, it's really just that even if we want to stay within the .NET space, there are alternatives to straight ASP.NET. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with ASP.NET as per se. It's just there are alternatives, and they have their uses too. So I think it's important to at least know that they're there, so we can make conscious decisions of whether we're going to use them or whether we're not going to use them. So another thing is, in my opinion, style matters when it comes to code. So all these frameworks are obviously Turing complete. They can all do everything. And in a sense, you could always say that this framework can do that. Well, my framework can do that as well. Yeah, that's true. But I do think that style matters in the long run. Style has an impact of how fun it is to work in a framework, which has an impact of how productive we are. It has an impact on the maintainability. But I think in the long run, style has a lot of impact. And also, I guess technology choices are always about trade-offs. So some of these frameworks are more at the end of giving you conventions to follow. Some are more explicit. Some really want you to be able to separate out concerns, where others want you to be able to not repeat yourself. And there can be a tension there. Also, there can be a tension between the abstract and the concrete. So which of these ends do you want to be on? And I think there is really a matter of taste and a matter of want and what you want as a developer. And the thing is that ASP.NET MVC has sort of put itself in one place and web forms in another place, and these, the three frameworks I'm going to talk a bit about now, place themselves at other points in this space, and they all have their place in my opinion. So the point is to know that they're there and be able to do to make conscious decisions of what you want to use. Right. So some of the things that are nice about all three of the frameworks I'm going to present now is that they sort of run anywhere. Well, at least to some extent. In this context, it sort of means they can run on IIS, they can self-host, they can run on Mono, so they can run on Linux boxes, on other platforms. So you get a little bit of freedom by choosing these. Again, this is also something you can do with, at least to some extent, with ASP.NET. But it's nice features, and it's something that's true for all the three frameworks I'm going to talk about. These all embrace inversion of control and dependency injection pretty much to the core of them. So they all take the stance that dependency injection is something that you do and is something that the framework itself does. So the frameworks out of the box come with an inversion of control container, and they expect you to do dependency injection, and they will be able to help you with that and inject your dependencies. So that's sort of something that really just comes out of the box without any special effort on your part in all three of these frameworks. And actually, I put this at the top of the slideshow. I think it's something where they all excel compared to ASP.NET, but it's something where they're sort of equal compared to each other. Also, I'd say all of them embrace HTTP. So this is also something that Web API does and talks about, and that's great. And I think Web API does it as well. It's just a feature. These three do it as well. HTTP is very present in all of these frameworks, and it's something that you as a developer can take in and really use. They are all open source, and they're all community driven. Whether this is a good or bad thing is, again, to some extent, personal taste. I like it. I think it's a good thing. Okay, so what will we learn during the next, I guess, a half hour to 45 minutes, which is what I think I'm going to spend talking about this? Well, we're not going to become experts at any of these. You can't do that in under an hour with three frameworks, I'd say. But you get a taste for them. And what you get a taste for are Fubo MVC, it's OpenRaster, and it's Nancy. And we'll do it through a little sample that I've implemented in each of these, and it works to some extent the same way in all of them. At least it looks the same in all of them. It's equally the UI is equally ugly in all three samples, and it's a URL shortener. So what is a URL shortener? Well, it's pretty simple. It's a form where you can enter a URL, then you can post the form back to the server, which will pick that URL up and return a shortened URL to you. Then if you do a GET for that shortened URL, you will be redirected to the long or original URL. So it's basically three steps. It's getting a form, posting it back, and then getting the shortened URL that then redirects you to the long version of the URL. So it's something that uses a few things from HTTP, a few things from a web framework, but not too much. It's pretty small, so we can get through it with all of them, but it still uses some features. Okay. So, Fubo MVC at a glance. Fubo MVC is for us, by us MVC, and has been around for a number of years now, and as such is pretty mature. It has a lot of production systems running on it at this point, so you should. So from that perspective, you should feel confident using this. By the way, that goes for all of the three frameworks here. I think you should be, from a maturity point, you should be fully confident. Okay, so a central thing in Fubo MVC is this concept of one model in, one model out. also known as the Russian doll principle. What this means is that in FUBU MVC, you're supposed to use your model types or your view model types, that is, for really just one thing. So this is a place where FUBU MVC takes separation of concerns, single responsibility to one extreme. So every action method in FUBU MVC takes in one model type and returns another one. And the model type that one action method takes in is only taken in by that one action. So that means that given a view model type, FUBU is able to match that to one action method and exactly one action method, so it always knows what's going on. You can leverage that by returning view model types that other action methods take in, and then you can build up a pipeline just by taking in or accepting some types and returning some other types, and the framework will string these together so that you get a pipeline. So that's a pretty easy way to build up a pipeline in MVC. I think that's a very strong feature. And it also sort of forces you to be very single responsibility, which in the long run has some really nice effects on maintainability. FUBU MVC also takes configuration over configuration pretty seriously. It wants you to follow its conventions and not configure too much. Or alternatively, you can, through code, reconfigure FUBU MVC to fit your own conventions so that you can use it as something that you to build up your own conventions and still do the conventional configuration thing, just not so necessarily the framework's conventions. So a killer thing of FUBU MVC is also its really cool built-in diagnostics. So if you have a FUBU site, you also have a diagnostics page that you can go to where you can monitor the traffic on your site, and you can ask FUBU how it resolves different routes and so on, so that you can sort of get inside FUBU and see how those one model in, one model out pipelines are built up for a given request. That's very good for debugging. Also, everything in FUBU MVC is plain old C# objects, which is really good for testing, obviously. So you don't have to inherit from a controller class. There are no statics that you have to that you have to go to every once in a while to fetch things or something like that. You can really just have clean, small, plain old CLR objects that you use. So good for testability. Also, this goes hand in hand with the dependency injection, which is also obviously good for testing. So, looking at the short URL sample, how does this work in FUBU MVC? Well, as I said, it's a one model in, one model out. So we have here a GET request. Just let's say it's just GET to slash. So that's the root of our application. That will hit the home controller, and that requires a little bit of setup to make it do that, but it will. And then the home controller here, because it's a GET, will the GET underscore home on the home controller will get executed. It will return a home view model, which will be matched against this home view, which uses a home view model. So that's one model out, and down here is one model in. So that's the GET part. This will be the form where the user can enter the long version of the URL. Right, moving on. Then we post back, and we post to the same address. Once the user has entered the URL, there will be some form data This will be deserialized into the URL shortening model, which will match up with the post home method, which again there's a convention saying that because this has a prefix of post, it'll match a post request. So that takes in a URL shortening model and it returns a URL shortening view model. I'm not sure the naming is the best here that I've chosen. It could be better, maybe, but it's one model in and it's one model out. And we see this model out matches the model that this razor view takes, and that will just display the shortened URL to the user. There's really nothing interesting about the razor views I've made here. They're really flat. Last bit here for the sample is just a get to some other URL that that we haven't set up. Then we'll assume that that is a shortened URL, deserialize that into a shortened URL model, which will hit, well, not post home, but get home, an overload of that, that takes a shortened URL model and returns a FUBU continuation. So that's something where we call into the framework, use the framework to do a continuation that we set up to do a redirect, so that the user will hit the long version, the original URL. Okay, so I will show you the code. Enough for slides for a bit now. So here we have the FUBU version of the sample. Consists of these files that we see here. The central one is the home controller here. But let's, I guess, start with the configuration that we have here. So this is this is how we configure FUBU. So there's not a whole lot of configuration, and in fact, most of this configuration is just sort of reaffirming that we want the conventions that are default. But first we just say here, do we want the diagnostics page? Yeah, we want this, at least for now while I'm developing. We just set this to false and it'll just and it won't be there. So you can turn that on and off pretty easily, and I guess you could do that based on your environment if you only want it in certain of your deployments or something like that. Then we do a setup for the actions, and we say that we will want to include all classes with suffixed with controller. So we don't have to inherit from a controller, it's just if we have a class called something something controller, we assume it's a controller and we assume the methods in them are action methods. Then we set up our routes. So we have to tell FUBU that we have some routes. First of all, we give it a convention saying that, okay, we don't want to use the controller names in the routes. We don't want to tie ourselves into matching controller names and routes. Those should be independent, so just ignore them. Also ignore method suffixes. And then we just go into the current assembly and we say that the home, that is slash, is the home controller, and specifically it's the get home method of the home controller. So that's just, we need to set that single URL up. The others are matched via the view models. Okay, and then views, for views we say, okay, try to attach with the default convention, and that works in this scenario because we have the matching of the outgoing view models from the action methods with the incoming view models to the views, and we tell FUBU that we want to use Razor. So that's pretty simple code-based setup, no XML here, which I really like. Looking at the home controller and looking at what we went through on slides before, first of all, the constructor here takes in a URL store. This is an interface that I defined for these three samples. It's implemented against a MongoDB behind it, where we just store the URL and the URLs in some simple documents. Not too important here, it's just somewhere to stick those URLs. We set up the get home to be the handler of slash, and we just return an empty view model because we just want to show that form that I was talking about before. So we could just take a quick look at the form that will get shown. Right, so we are waiting on the ID. Sorry about that. So this should hopefully in a bit show us just some pretty simple HTML. Meanwhile, let's just take a quick look at Chrome here. We have this is actually the FUBU version running here in Chrome. So as you see, the views aren't really that interesting. Nothing special to talk about. and you can just enter a URL here, HTTP long URL, please, for instance. And you can push the shorten, and it will shorten it. So it seems like Visual Studio is waking up here. So we see we have something that just takes in the view model. This is enough to tell FUBU that this is a view we want for that initial action method at the root. And we just show this simple piece of HTML, a form that posts back with post, does it to home, and we have a label, and we have two inputs, which is the text input here and the button. Not too exciting, really. So let's rather go back and take a look at the home controller there. So once we push that button and post back to the server, we hit this method. Again, it's really because we are able to deserialize to this model. So let's just take a quick look at that. Again, it's just a pretty simple, or really, really simple model here. It's something that is just a string which matches the single string that you're able to enter on the form that I showed you, and then the fact that you're able that FUBU MVC is able to deserialize to this model, and the fact that there is a method on the appropriate controller which handles the post method and takes in that model. And that creates a unique match, tells FUBU that this is the action we want to run. So this is what will be run. We just take in the text string that you entered, get a hash code and toString that. That's not a terribly clever way to shorten a URL, but for this sample it's okay. It's just creating another URL, really, or just another text out of the URL. We store that back to our storage, and we return a shortening view model, which consists of the host that we're currently running on and the quote-unquote shortened URL, and then that will just be shown in the view. Okay. Then if the user follows that, well, I guess we could maybe see that. In action, I think I have it running here. Let's just check. So I entered HTTP long URL please.com short URL. Hope I am actually running this in the background. Otherwise, we'll just start it. Right, we got it back here. So your shortened URL is this, which is not particularly shorter, but it's another URL at least. And if I click that, we see we are redirected to longurlplease.com. And just to show you that it's not cheating too much, I'll copy it and paste it into the address bar, go there, and we'll still get the same redirect. So the redirect part there we haven't seen in code yet. the redirect part is here. It's a get method, and we're just looking for something that will, and we're looking for something that will match this. So it's a get method, and there's something here. We will want to deserialize whatever's coming in the request into this if we can, and we can because we need something that can deserialize into a string simply. And again, based on conventions, FUBU will say, okay, that's okay, we have something after the slash here and we need to put that somewhere. That could be deserialized into this string. Of course, it could also be deserialized into this string, but then it looks at the possible action methods. There's a get that takes the shortened URL model. Okay, that's probably the one, or that is the one, because that's a unique match. So we retrieve the long URL from the store, and then we call into FUBU to make the redirect to the long URL, and that's it, actually. So that's pretty easy, as you see, including the controller and the various view models that were needed to make this run. This is done in 66 lines plus a tiny amount of setup, even including comments and stuff here. This is just 30 lines. That's it. So that's pretty easy in FUBU, I'd say. Right. So back to the slides and moving on from from FUBU and moving on to OpenRaster. OpenRaster is the next framework up that we'll take a quick look at. So in OpenRaster, it's all about three things. It's about resources, it's about handlers, and it's about codecs. A killer feature in OpenRaster, I'd say, is its automatic support for content negotiation. So for a simple website like the one we're looking at here, you wouldn't run into needing that content negotiation part. But if you move just a little bit beyond this and add a public API along with your website, you will probably pretty soon run into wanting to be able to do content negotiation. So content negotiation is looking at the HTTP headers on the request, which can be used to tell the server which type of content the client wants back. So if you're doing an API along with your website, you will probably want to be able to return some JSON. You might even use that yourself for a single page app or something, but you might also want to be able to return XML or some other format, some binary format, some protobufs, whatever. And to be able to find out which format to return to each client, one can use the HTTP headers, where the client can indicate which types of content they are able to receive. And that's a good feature of OpenRaster that they have that built in, that will look at the headers and try to serialize whatever you return in a form that the client can understand. Again, everything in OpenRaster is plain old CLR objects. You don't have to inherit from anything. You don't have to access any static whatever. Everything can be clean, plain old CLR objects. Great for testing. Also great for testing is that, again, OpenRaster at its core embraces dependency injection, so you can always inject mocked out versions of whatever in your tests. So how do we do the sample in OpenRaster? Well, as I said, OpenRaster is very much about three things: resources, handlers and codecs. So for the resources, these are resources in the sense of REST. So at a given URL, there is a resource, and and you can interact with that resource using the HTTP verbs. Now, the same resource can be at more than one URL, which is what we are leveraging here. So we're leveraging in the sample here that we have the resource home, is here, illustrated down here, and we can do various requests into the home resource. Now the home resource will be at slash, and it will be at slash shortened URL. In fact, I think there's a little mistake here in the slides. It will be in slash home, not in slash, in slash home, and it will be in slash shortened URL. So we see what's in braces here is just something that says, okay, I'll match anything. This is a URI template, as you probably know them from ASP.NET MVC anyway. And illustrated over here is that you can interact with the resource using the various verbs. So you can get the resource basically, you can post back to the resource, and you can get the resource with that shortened URL argument. Whoop, up again. Then you have handlers. So handlers are what, well, handles the resource. So we made the requests, they all hit the home resource. That means the code from the home handler will run. And based on the HTTP verb and based on the arguments for the request, that is the form data and that is the templated parts of the URI, OpenRaster will be able to pick the correct action method within the handler. So codecs are what comes into place and play with the automatic content negotiation very much in OpenRaster, which we unfortunately won't see a lot of in this particular demo. We will see a couple of codecs. So a codec is a coder decoder. We will see a WebForms view engine codec. So a view engine, you can view a coengine as something that takes in some data and serializes it out to HTML basically. And that's what we'll use the WebForms view engine for here. That's what you always use a view engine for. But in the OpenRaster terminology, it's just another codec, just as an XML serializer or a JSON serializer or a YAML serializer are codecs. Also, we've used the form data codec to deserialize the form data that we get back from the post. Okay, again, let's have a look at the code. In fact, let's first have a look at the sample in OpenRaster, as you see. So this is FUBU MVC, this is OpenRaster, and there's no visible or almost no visible difference. The difference is here, as I said, it's on the home, it's not directly on slash in this one. But let's just see again, HTTP colon slash slash www.cnn.com, so we can shorten that. That will probably actually be a longer URL because I'm using the same not very smart way to shorten the URL. So we get this URL back, we follow it, and there we go, we get redirected to CNN, blah blah blah. Okay, whatever, something's happening in the world apart from this conference. Let's look at the code. That's what we're here for, after all. So here we have the sample implemented in OpenRaster. Here we have the everything that it consists of. We have again the same URL store implemented against Mongo. This is the exact same implementation as we saw before, running against the same Mongo database, in fact. We have a single handler, it's the home handler, so this will handle the home resource. You'd have more here, obviously, in a real environment. The resource here is home in itself, so let's take a look at that. So here is really a difference to FUBU MVC. In FUBU MVC, we had lots of little different view models. We had one in for each action method and one out for each action method. Here we have one model for the entire handler. So this is the restful way of thinking, I guess, that shines through in OpenRaster. That at a given URI, there is a resource, in this case, the home resource. The home resource consists of the host, that is localhost blah blah blah. In this case, that would be the base URI or the base well the host name. Yeah, you get it. It consists of a long URL and a short URL. So the long URL is www.cnn.com, and the short URL was the mangled one that we couldn't read. That wasn't really shorter, but anyway. And of course, these aren't used in all the actions all the time. But this is the resource, this is what the resource consists of, and this is what the home handler handles. We also have in the views folder a single view, as you see, it's an ASPX view. It's a so it uses the WebForms view engine, as I said. Let's look again briefly at the configuration of OpenRaster here. Again, it's nice and brief and done entirely in code. In OpenRaster here, we really just have to set up the resource space. The resource space is telling OpenRaster what resources does my application consist of, and what are the handlers. So I have a resource of type home. That's the one we just looked at, and I'm telling it that that's at slash. It's at slash home, and it's at slash shortened URL, or at this template. It's handled by the home handler. So here I tell OpenRaster, okay, it's home, and it's this handler, these URI, and it's rendered by this ASPX. I could put some more stuff behind here. I could say and also I could say that it is it's a JSON data contract, or rendered by some user control. So this, you see here, I could say that it's rendered by more than one thing. And then that's where the content negotiation would pick in. Would kick in, depending on what the request set. The framework would pick an appropriate renderer. I also have to set up the dependency. I'm using the URL store, as I said, and I'm just newing it up here and adding it as a dependency to the IOC container within the framework. So let's take a look at the home handler and see how that looks in OpenRaster. Again, you see here, it's just a POCO class. It doesn't inherit from anything. It has a couple of dependencies. It has an iRequest, which is an OpenRaster type that OpenRaster itself is able to inject. It's just a representation of the current request. It has a URL store, again the Mongo database that I'm storing things into. So when OpenRaster instantiates a home handler for a given request, it will inject a request and a URL store for me. Very nice. When we hit it with that first get for slash home, that's when we want the form, including the text field for our long URL, to be returned, it will hit this method. And it will do so because we told OpenRaster that for that particular URI, the handler is the home handler, and it's a GET request, and there are no extra parameters. So this is a method that that matches, and we'll just return an empty resource. So you're hitting it the first time. Makes sense. This is a new resource. You just want an empty model back. So let's just take a quick look at the ASPX here. We can see this again is just the form. It has an input, an output. You see there's a little bit of code going on here. There's an if the shortened URL is null, then we sort of then we say, okay, this means that it's the first time around and we want the user to enter a URL, otherwise we want to present that shortened URL. So this is sort of conditional of where we are in the workflow, and you just look a little bit at the state of the resource. This depends of course on how you design your resources, whether this type of thing will be necessary or not. Back to the home handler. When we hit that submit button, it's a post, and again there's some data in the form data. We set up the home resource to be able to be to take in form data, and we so that was deserialized into this input parameter, which is of type home, and it's a post method, so that's how OpenRaster will match that up. We do the same thing as before, do a stupid way of trying to shorten the URL. We take the host here, we take that from the request, so we just sort of expect that if you do a request from somewhere and there's a host name in there, that's also the host name that you probably would need for your shortened URL. Save that and return the resource again. We see, so actually what's coming in here is a resource where the only thing that's set up is the long URL, because that was that's what was in that form data. And then what we do is we assign something to short URL and we assign something to host, and then we return that, hit the same view as we saw before, but then we present the part in the else part down there, this part down here where we use the host, we use the short URL to set up an anchor, and we also print out the same short URL. Lastly, when we match up that URL template with the shortened URL in it, it's a GET method again. It's still handled by the home handler because that's how we set it up in the configuration of OpenRaster. The part of the template after the slash is matched to this string, and we just go in here again. We use so we look inside our store. If we find a long version for the shortened URL that we're getting in, we want to redirect to that, and again we use the framework here, built-in support for doing this sort of HTTP manipulation, doing a redirect to this location. Otherwise we'll just return a 404 not found. And that's it for the OpenRaster version. Again, as you see, it's really not a lot of code to do this. It's less than 50 lines of code in the handler. It's, well, even the view here is just 25 lines. Granted, it's an ugly view as well. The configuration is really short as well, 30 lines. So again, really quick and easy to do in OpenRaster. Very clean implementation, I'd say. The handler is just a POCO, very testable, very nice. Okay, so if we go back to the slides here, we move on to the third part of the presentation, which is about Nancy. So this is the last framework that we'll just run through in sort of the same style here. So Nancy is a lightweight and low ceremony web framework. It's supposed to just work, and in my experience it does. It just works. At the same time, it's built with IOC and dependency injection and modularity really all the way down. It's turtles all the way down. So you can switch out anything. You can switch out anything in the framework itself if it doesn't suit you. But there are reasonable conventions, and for most things, reasonable defaults as well. And for most things, it'll just work. Nancy also really embraces the idea of using DSLs for stuff. So at the core of Nancy is actually a DSL for HTTP, which we'll see in a bit. Nancy also has some built-in diagnostics like FUBU. It hasn't reached the same level yet as FUBU's, to be honest, but it's also a great help. You can also here in the diagnostics part of your Nancy site enter requests that will hit the server, and then you will get back you'll get back information about how Nancy resolves the URI that you gave it and which handlers it hit and so on and so forth. Again, very 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 useful for debugging. Nancy also has automatic content negotiation. I talked about that in the context of OpenRaster. Nancy also has that. It's done in a different way, but it's also a really nice feature of Nancy. Nancy really puts testability in first class. This isn't to say that the others don't do that, I say they do that as well. But and a good thing with Nancy is that it comes also with a Nancy.testing package, which will make it even easier to test your Nancy sites. I don't think we'll have time to really take a look at that, but if you take a look at Nancy, you should really also take a look at Nancy.testing. That's way cool. So, the overview of doing short URL sample in Nancy. In Nancy, the really central thing is modules. So the sample we'll see here, everything is handled through the short URL module. A module in Nancy is any class that inherits from the Nancy module. So here we have some inheritance. Now don't be too scared about this. The Nancy testing makes it possible to test this in a really nice and clean way, where you can swap out all your dependencies and have them mocked out if you want, or you can run on real dependencies, or some can be real and some can be mocked, so on and so forth. But there is an inheritance from a module class. That's also what makes it possible to do some of the really nice things in Nancy. So there's a trade-off for you. So the Nancy module here will handle the HTTP request that come in. It will define the routes that it's able to handle, and it will do so by pointing out some handler functions, and then it will return some responses. Responses in the sense that it's things of type Nancy response. The routes that we want are the same ones as before. We want a get for slash, a post for slash, and a get for this template, the shortened URL. And these three lines are actually the Nancy DSL for HTTP handling. So these three lines we'll see in the code as indicating that these are the routes that we want to be able to handle. We'll get back to that. And in fact, so just back up. So these are the routes here, and then we are here in the drawing. And then the handler functions are actually lambdas, or of course, when you can use lambda, you can also put in a method name, obviously. But it's it's sort of neat to put in, well, at least to some extent, use some lambdas there. We'll see that too. So that was pretty quick. And again, code speaks louder than slides. So let's get on to the code. This is the sample done in Nancy. It seems slightly bigger than the others. That's because I have a test project, and I also sort of made two hosting versions for this, so that it can run just in a command line and in a console application and as a ASP.NET-based web application. So The thrust of the application is here in short URL. The others are just shells and tests. So the central part is the short URL module, as I said. But let's take a look at the bootstrapper first. This is the configuration for Nancy. So in Nancy, you do the configuration by inheriting from, not necessarily inheriting from default Nancy bootstrapper, but it's an easy way to do it. You can also implement the iNancy bootstrapper, I think is the interface. But you get some help, and then you get the default implementations for stuff here. And you can just override the things that you need to override. In this case, all I actually, for what I'm showing you now, need to override is just a bit of the configuration for the IOC container, which is I want to throw in my own Mongo-based URL store. That's it. The other part here is actually only used when I, only needed when I run in the console application. So I could have left that out for now. So the short URL module, as I said, Nancy uses some DSLs. We see that get into play here. So a module in Nancy is something that inherits from Nancy module. When Nancy starts up and on each request, actually, well, at least when it starts up, Nancy instantiates the Nancy module types, and then in your constructor for your module, you set up the routes that you want to handle. Also notice that Nancy injects my URL store. This is an interface, so in testing I can just have a mocked implementation of my URL store interface. Nancy will inject the real one because that's what I set up in the IOC container set up in the Bootstrap as we saw before. So back to the DSL. So we tell Nancy that we want to handle a GET request for slash, and we want to handle that through this lambda over here. We just want to return a view, and the view we want to return is index.html. Now, because of conventions, Nancy will assume that a view is located in views. So we see we have an index.html here in views. Nancy will pick that up because that's the view we're asking it to return, and it will just return the plain HTML here. Again, it's the same tired old form as we've seen before. The other parts that we need to handle is the post. So we tell Nancy a post request for slash should be handled by this lambda. This lambda just calls into the method shorten URL that we have down here. It does the same thing as we've seen before. Looks into the request. So the request here is a property on the Nancy module base class and is where all the data about the current request is situated. It's not a static thing that we are accessing here. It's just a normal property on your Nancy module, and in testing it will also be set to something reasonable. We can access any form data that was on the request by just saying .form, and then I can say .url. And this is because, well, as you can see, the intelligence is telling me here the form data here is a dynamic, so Nancy also makes, if not heavy, then at least some use of dynamic to make things easier and just make them just work. So on my form I have the field called URL, that's where I enter the long URL, and I just want to be able to access that directly, and I am like this. We shorten the URL using the method below here. We do the same stupid thing as we did before. We save the shortened URL along with the long URL in our store, and then we return another view. This time it looks a little bit different. So up here we just had the name of the view, down here we have the name of the view and a type. So that will match up again something in the views folder. This will be this one, shortened URL.sshtml. SSHTML is super simple. The super simple view engine is the view engine that Nancy comes with out of the box. You can also use Razor or Spark or something, or a few others with Nancy. I just stuck with the default for this. If we look at that, that's pretty simple. It's just something that presents the anchor for you, and it goes in here and says model.host model.shorturl model.host model.shorturl, and that's where we access the model data that we pass along here. Right. So that's it for the that's it for the posting back of the long URL and for the shortening of that. Then when we do a GET for this template, again we use the HTTP DSL that Nancy gives us to access the tell Nancy that we want to handle a GET for this shortened URL. We use this lambda. Again, I could refactor this out to a method if we prefer or whatever. Now, up here we just sort of ignore the input for the lambda. Down here I actually want to use the parameters for something. So the params here are the parameters in the URL or the URI template here. Again, it's dynamic, so I can just match the names here. Short URL I have here, that will be matched to something that will be put into this dynamic. I can just pull it out here and I can cast it to a string. Then again, as with the other frameworks, Nancy provides me some help for doing the redirect. So I just give it say that I want a response. This response, again, you see it's an iResponse formatter, and it's a property on the base class. Again, this will also work in testing. There's no problem there. You'll be able to do stuff with your response, and it will return nicely to your tests. Here, it's the real response, so to speak. It's a redirect, and it's a redirect to the long URL that I get if I just pull it out of my URL store. So I just pull out of my URL store here based on the short URL that came in on the request, and I redirect to that. So that works exactly the same as the others, and we can check that out. We have, this is the Nancy version. The way to see that it actually is the Nancy version is that we have the Nancy default icon up there. Well, I guess actually we could sort of go back here. So this is the Open Raster one. We'll just copy the URL that the Open Raster version shortened, and since we're using the we'll just copy actually this last bit of it. Anyway, since we're using the same Mongo database on the back end to store the shortened URLs in, it should work to just paste the URL in here. The Nancy version here should be able to look it up, so let's just see now, fingers crossed. There we go, and the Nancy version also redirects us to CNN.com. And if we just go back, you see you have here a reload, and this is how the front page of the Nancy version looks. So they all look the same, they all do the same. Again, very short and nice, just over 30 lines of the module code. Bootstrapper, the part that I actually use in this sample, is 17 lines, and with the other part is 27 lines. That's it, and then a couple of really, really simple views here. So again, it's really simple, really short. Granted, the sample is simple here, so it will be simple in most things. I think all three of these offer some nice solutions for doing basic website stuff like this. And I also think they all three offer solutions for doing more advanced things as well. So that was it for the three web frameworks that I wanted to go through. Then again, let's just repeat that. Why did we actually do that? Well, to some extent, as I said, it's just the basic fact that these alternatives exist. Just that they are there. I think we should know them. They all have different styles. I think that matters in the long run. I think that matters when it comes to maintainability. There are trade-offs. Trade-offs as to which type of style you want to follow. How much explicitity do you want? How dry do you want your code to be versus how explicit do you want your code to be? What do you consider readable? And I think it's important to choose something that matches you and your team and the site that you're building. What did we learn? We learned a little bit about FUBU MVC. The important thing to remember here, FUBU MVC is one model in, one model out. I think that's the really important thing to remember about FUBU. Open Raster, it's all about resources, handlers, and codecs. Nancy, it's very much about the domain-specific languages, especially the DSL for HTTP. So, how, when, where do we use one of these? Well, I don't have the golden answer for you there. That's sort of the whole point. You have to know these things and you have to evaluate for yourself. But my point is, I think that it's just sort of not good enough to just default to a single answer always. Or, well, it may be sort of good enough for a while, but I think you can go faster if you actually do conscious decisions and evaluate these things and pick the one that actually suits your situation. So, that's it for now. I don't know if there are questions anywhere. I'm not on the Jabber now, but I will be after the session. And
okay,
here you have the contact information. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can send me an email if you want. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Hey, Christian, you have two questions in the queue.
Right.
If you find your live meeting bar, it's usually at the top of your screen.
Yep.
Look for the Q&A.
Yep.
And then flip over to the Manage tab.
There we go. Okay.
And then click on the first one, and there you go.
Yeah. You commented that OR design / implementation, single model, model in, model out, versus Fuhu Thunderdome was more restful. Why so curious? Why? So that Open Raster's design was more restful than Fubo MVC's. Well, that's a good question, actually. I think that it's more a question of it's more obviously restful. I think you can be very restful with each of these three frameworks if you want to, and if you have the discipline. I think that it's just that in Open Raster it's sort of built into the terminology that things are resources. It's a resource space that we set up with Open Raster, and we have handlers for those, whereas with Fubu MVC it's more the terminology is more about view models, and it's models that you get in, and it's models that you get out again. It's not that you can't be restful with Fubu. I'm sure you can. So I hope that answered the question. And from Klaus, how does one structure views in Nancy? Say I have 50 views. Do I need to place them all in the views folder, or can I use subfolders, etc.? You can definitely use subfolders if you want. Then in the then when you say views and the brackets, you just put in the you just put in the names of the subfolders as well, and then Nancy will find the way down to that. You can also in the Bootstrapper set up your own conventions for finding the views if you want something even more advanced. So I also hope that answers the question.
Thanks, Christian. If anybody has any further questions, please put them in the queue now. Or I guess, did you say you were going to hang out in the chat room after the talk?
Yes, I'm going to be in the Jabber room for a while, and then I'm jumping on to the next talk.
Okay. I'd also like to remind everybody to fill out your evals on the ASPConf website. Just find this talk and click the eval button right below it. I'd like to thank Christian for his presentation today. And thank you all for attending, and see you at the next one. Thanks, Christian.